Blog Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's Nacho Mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
DDP.
DDP. Radio.
High five.
It is I. Welcome to another edition of DDP Radio Live right here at DDPRadio.com. It's me, Michael D. Mullins, here broadcasting live from the DDP Radio Megaplex. And per usual, I stroll in and make my grand entrance. Got a Rolls Royce pulling up. And then I have a man in a butler's uniform open up the door. And I come out with my fur coat and four people trailing behind me carrying my full coat. And I hop into the elevator where there's a grand crystal piano that I'm tinkering on the keys on all the way up to the top, the tippy top floor of the tallest part of all of Raleigh, North Carolina. The piano rises from the rooftop, and I step out and I ascend that crystal staircase all the way to the top part of that tall, very sky high radio tower. And on top of that radio tower, I looked to the great white north, and I looked for a sign of life way up on the mountain, on top of the mountain, on top of Mount Ontario. And on that mountain is that light that I seek. It is Crystal. Her red radiant energy meets with the power of the radio tower, and boom, DDP Radio broadcast to the universe, baby. How are you today, Crystal?
Man, I don't even know where to start.
Just when you think my intros can't get any more ridiculous, here I am.
Yep, this was
through.
A good one. This was a good one.
All right, Crystal. Well, it's going to be a fun show tonight, as usual. I know you've been working very, very hard on booking some amazing guests, some amazing stories. We had an awesome episode last week with Nancy and Stacy, and now we are back to the Warrior of the Week format, and rumor has it you've been hard at work in the dungeon below your mountaintop home, booking guests up until, I think it's 2050 we're at now. But, Crystal,
yes.
I know you got a good one for me tonight, so why don't you do the intro of our DDPY Warrior of the Week for this week.
So tonight on DDP Radio, Mike and I welcome Joe Ferreira to the show. I think one of the most amazing things about being here is watching people come here convinced that they are too broken, too far gone, unable. The reasons that brought you to the front door are very important, but they are not the sole reason why you will succeed or you have already succeeded. You are going to stumble and fall into the comfort of your old ways. It's just kind of the nature of things. Getting you to a whole new level takes work, and at times it is going to be really uncomfortable. What I can tell anyone who is listening to this is you are capable of doing hard things. It never means that this isn't going to be worth it in the end. But first, the universe is going to show you that you're going to have to put the work in for it, and you're going to have to work hard. Ruts are comfortable for a reason, and they keep you stuck. Learning that you are capable and worthy of self-investment and change is life-changing. The last sentence in Joe's story that he submitted to me for the show speaks volumes. That sentence is, I feel like I too can change the world, one person at a time. Please welcome to the show this week, our Warrior of the Week, Joe Ferreira.
Hello, Crystal and Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi,
hey.
Joe.
Thank you for coming on with us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, super happy to be here.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So obviously you were nominated by someone in the community, or Crystal pulled you out. Obviously we have the Warriors of the Week here, which means you've been putting in the work, you've been living the life, you've been doing what you got to do. And this is going to be easy. It's just a conversation. We don't have any plan to where we're going with it. We just kind of call it in the ring and see where it goes. But the one question we always like to start with is every warrior, every superhero needs an origin story. So, Joe, tell us how you got here. Tell us the circumstances that made you, brought you to the point where you wanted to try some DDPY and try to change your life.
Yeah, totally. So I've known about DDPY, I feel like, since Dallas has been doing it, right? I grew up a wrestling fan. Family is all wrestling fans, been a Dallas Page fan since I was a teenager. And so I always kind of knew about what he was doing. I'd heard the stories, the people he had helped. So I always kind of knew the program was out there. So my story really starts in September of 2020, when COVID happened. So I have most of my adult life, like, to have a good time, was always a bit of a partier, was always, just trying to find the next good time. And, for most of my adult life, I was able to balance this with my responsibilities, my job, my family. Like, I was able to function pretty well. And, COVID happened, and when the lockdowns happened and everyone into isolation, like, I found it very easy, to just drink all the time. And, so habits that were, managed and in check, really became out of control and started to affect my health. And so in September of 2020, I was sitting at the kitchen table with my wife and kids. We were having dinner, and I thought I was having a stroke. Like, I can't even, like, really explain, like, how I felt. I just felt very bad. I thought I was having, like, a stroke or a heart attack. I didn't know what was going on. And so, I, like, got super scared. I, like, started to come clean with my wife. And, like, she obviously knew I drank, but, like, she didn't really know, like, how much I was drinking or, like, what I was hiding or whatever, right? So, came clean, went to the doctor like a couple days later, and talked to my primary care doctor about what was going on, and like started the process of like trying to like quit drinking, right? And so in that, I needed something to do to fill my time, and I needed something to like try to begin to like put my body back together. Like, I was probably 50 pounds overweight. I was almost 200 pounds when I went into the doctor. I'm only like 5'6", 5'7". I'm not a very big person. So I was very overweight. Like, I work a desk job, so I was like completely sedentary. Like, I was doing no like physical activity other than like 12 ounce curls, and I was just in really bad shape. And I heard about, like I said, I knew about this program. One of my buddies had the DVDs, and I was like, well, let me try this, right? Like, I know it's helped others. I know it's helped people in much worse situations than me. So let me try this. And so I did. I started with the YRG DVDs that somebody had, and I went through the basic program, I went through the intermediate program, and I was doing okay. And I was losing some weight, and I was feeling good, and I was trying to do this recovery thing. And I went back to the doctor a few months after like the whole thing had transpired, and got some blood work done, and like all the stuff that he had told me was like becoming a problem. My liver enzymes, my like blood levels, everything was like back to normal. And so immediately I was like, oh good, I'm back to normal. I can just resume my old behavior, right? And, but I couldn't really let anyone know, because like I had put a lot of people through a lot of grief, and it was a long road to get me even where I was. And so I basically went like completely underground, started drinking in secret. I wasn't telling anyone what I was doing. I was like, still functioning, still doing all the stuff I needed to do, but I was just really not in a good place. And, you know, my wife kept finding out. I'd do good for a few months. She'd find out I was making a mistake. And, you know, we just in this constant cycle. And so finally in June of 2021, I like tried to quit drinking, and I had just really terrible withdrawals. My my body had become like completely dependent on alcohol. Every time I didn't drink for more than like a few hours, like my blood pressure was spiking, my heart rate was out of control. And so I had to like go to the hospital, and I'm in this hospital room, and I'm like steadfast. I have no idea why I'm here. Don't know what's going on. Not sure why this is happening. Like, no idea why this is happening. And so long story short, like finally the doctor was like, you know, you've been drinking obviously, and you know why this is happening. Right. So, so that was, you know, I wish I could tell you that was like the final wake up call, right? Like I was here in the hospital, I was sick. The whole time I'm still trying to do DDP yoga. Like I couldn't stop doing this program, because then people would ask me why I stopped doing the program, and you know, they'd be onto my secrets. So I'm still trying to push through this. And, you know, it was really though that hospital visit that like started to change things for me. So I left the hospital and I started looking for like some more ways to get some help. I started looking into recovery programs, just finding ways to like start to better myself. And, you know, through that whole thing, I was doing DDPY, right? I went through the beginner program. I went through the intermediate program, finally like worked my way up into like the advanced program. And this was like, I don't know, the beginning of middle 2021, end of 2021. And finally, by like 2022, I just made the investment in the app and really like just decided like this is what I was going to do. I was doing better in my recovery. I was like putting together like more and more like prolonged, you know, continuous days of sobriety. And I just decided I was going to invest in this app. And so I got this app in January of 2022. And really, like, that's really where things started to take off, right? That's when I learned about the DDP Yoga Facebook group and started to learn a little bit about the community, and learned about, you know, the Positively Unstoppable Challenge. And as I went through, like, 2022, you know, I was getting better and better, like, doing better, making mistakes, doing better, making mistakes, just kind of this continuous cycle. But when I got to the end of 2022, I had like made this commitment that I would do this challenge. I would join this Positively Unstoppable Challenge. And I really thought like, you can't really join like a health and wellness challenge where you're supposed to own your life if you keep like drinking in the dark, right? And so I made continuous sobriety a goal last year in this challenge and was successful. I made it through all of 2023 without a drink. It's the first time since I was probably 14 or 15 years old that I made it through a full calendar year without a drink. And, you know, this program has really, like, saved my life. I've lost probably close to 55 pounds. You know, I'm doing things now that, like, I could have never done before, like, physically, you know, using the power cuffs, I'm putting muscle on. So, you know, I'll stop talking for a minute, but that's pretty much it, right? Like, I use this as a vehicle to really, like, try to put myself back together. And I spent a lot of hours with Dallas on the mat just trying to put myself back together.
That's incredible. Congratulations. Man, I'm really happy for you. People don't really understand how much work that really is. And, you know, I know it's hard for a lot of people to quit drinking. And, you know, when they say, you know, during the pandemic and so many people fell into those habits, you know, what is fun and, you know, in social, having three or four drinks out with friends suddenly becomes a little more depressing and sad when it's at home every night, you know, that transition. And so many people, when they drink, they don't realize it seems like it's nothing, but it's an activity. And that boredom and that downtime during the the pandemic, that must have been really hard to kind of to navigate, having being stuck alone and inside and dealing with all that. But the amount of commitment that it took for you to realize that and realize that things needed to change, and not only realizing it, but in several different, you know, attempts and increments to make those changes, that's a huge thing. You should be commended for that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate it, man. I'm very fortunate. I have, you know, a wonderful support system. I have great friends and family who have stuck with me through probably a lot more than they should have. And so I think, you know, I am very proud of it. There's no doubt that, like, I put in this work and I'm the one who did this. But I also feel very fortunate to have, you know, the support that I did and even, like, the ability to be able to put in this effort, right?
I mean, when I was researching your story, Joe, and I mean, I have a wall of quotes, and one of them says, when you find yourself with a flat tire, the way to fix it is you don't go slash the other three. And it made me kind of sit up and take notice. And I kind of saw that in your story. So because you're broken or you're deeming yourself, you know, you have a problem, doesn't mean you fully commit to it and slash the other three tires. I'm really proud of you. I know how hard that was. And I know how hard it is to kind of keep that boat floating. So way to go. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you finally find yourself in a place where you're maintaining sobriety, and suddenly, I'm sure the world opens up for you a little bit more. You start, you know, being intoxicated all the time, it takes away from your social life. It takes away from, you know, doing things you'd want to do. Is there anything, once you started getting back on your feet, that you really enjoyed that you didn't really think you would find so much enjoyment in once you quit drinking?
Yeah, yoga. Yoga. No, I think, you know, in all seriousness, I think, you know, I never really, like, attempted to be sober for any, like, long stretches of time, right? And so I think I've found all kinds of new things that, like, I would never have done. And, you know, one of the quotes that really stuck with me from Dallas is if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. And
yep.
And so I think as, you know, as I was going through my journey, like, I had to look for things that, like, I would normally not do. Like, yoga was definitely one of them. You know, I meditate a lot now. I found, like, mindfulness and meditation to be incredibly helpful in my journey. I used to make fun of people who meditated, right? Like, it's just, so I think things like that I found that I never would have thought. I also found a recovery program that has been extremely helpful to me. And, you know, for those who know me well, like, I have, my father passed away from liver failure when I was, like, 23 years old. And I have, you know, a lot of issues with how that happened and why. And so the whole concept of recovery and recovery programs and all this stuff, I just was very adverse to. And, you know, so I was able to find some things that worked for me. And I think, you know, my journey and my story as to how I got sober and how I stay sober is a little bit different just because, yeah, I didn't go at the traditional routes, right? So I definitely think I found some stuff, like, through my sobriety that I would have never found. I think even including, like, finding the joy in being sober, right? Like, I hated being sober. It just felt, like, so boring. You know, I liked for life to be enhanced, and I felt like I could enhance it. And so, you know, being able to get that feeling naturally and through other means has been great, and it's been, you know, a wonderful thing to learn.
They say that mindset is the hardest thing to change. How hard was it to sit with yourself through this?
Oh, it was impossibly hard. And different kinds of hardness, right? Like, I think, you know, the first difficulty was even just, like, admitting that there was anything wrong, right? Like, I'm a very stubborn person. I'm very strong-willed. I don't like to ask for help. Like, all those things, right? And But just like even admitting that like this was something that I had to do and not be like, I didn't want to change these. I didn't want to make these changes. Like I enjoyed my life. I was having a good time. And like, unfortunately, like my body couldn't keep up with the good time I was trying to have anymore. And I was being forced to make some changes I didn't want to make. And so, you know, that was hard. Like coming to terms with the fact that I have to do this was hard. Like learning that it's not something I have to do. It's something that I actually get to do and I should be grateful I'm still alive to do it. Like that was hard, right? Like all the lies and the deceit, the people I hurt, like you have to sit and find a way to accept that and, you know, move forward and not ruminate and live in that. So I think, very, very hard, right? But also very rewarding because I've learned or relearned discipline and compassion and, you know, all kinds of things that I had lost along the way and in some of my troubles and the things I was dealing with, right?
I think one of the hardest things is that when you try to convince yourself you're having a good time when you're really actually not.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, actually.
100%.
I agree.
Yeah, and I had the, you know, I had an unhealthy mindset in the fact that I felt like I deserved to have a good time all the time. Like, I felt like I was above, like, ever feeling bad. Like, I didn't really, like, I can't even really put it into words because it's, like, in hindsight, so silly. But, like, the goal is just to feel good all the time, and that's just not... just not realistic. It's not sustainable. And I think to your point, it becomes very easy to convince yourself that things are going fine when they're really, really not, right?
And I mean, I think that there is a very big difference between artificially feeling good or actually feeling good. Like it's like night and day.
Yeah, 100%. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. Like I'm, you know, in my 40s, right? I'm in better shape than I've ever been in. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life, and I do so completely naturally, right? So I think I would agree with that.
I'm going to ask you a question that we haven't asked. Sorry, Mike. What would new Joe tell old Joe?
You know, I don't know. I think about that a lot. I don't know, because old Joe wouldn't have listened, right? Like, I can think of a lot of things I would have told me. I would have told me to probably wake up. I would have told me that, you know, I'm not invincible, and all the things that I think can't really impact me actually can, and, you know, I all of those things. But I don't know that it would have mattered, because I wasn't interested in listening to anyone's opinion but my own, right?
That's a very good answer, Joe.
Yeah, very good. And I've said this before on the show, but when you're in that funk of, you know, you're drinking or you're doing whatever it is you're doing, and you end up getting to a point where you just have to. You have to maintain that. And you end up working very, very hard to keep that level of you know, of lifestyle. And when you're through on the other side of it, you realize how much time you wasted trying to feel terrible all the time. You know, once you get over that initial hump and feel good again, it's almost like I was fighting to stay in the muck all those years, fighting to stay where I was. And I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, on the show at least, that didn't think that feeling good was possible after sobriety. They thought, I got to fight for sobriety, I get to get there, and then I just get to bite the bullet and be miserable for the rest of my life. And there gets to a point where you realize how much better your life is with natural, you know, just healthy high.
Yeah, I think that's true, right? I think for me it was really, I think there's a lot to that, right? And I think for me it really, you know, the mindset shift
Oh, I think we might have lost Joe. Crystal, you there still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, did we lose Joe?
I don't know.
Yep, he dropped off, so let's wait for him to call back.
Oh.
And see if he comes back on the line here. But, yeah, I mean, it's such an important thing to, you know, hearing a story, and you can really hear how, you know, committed he is to his new life and his newfound sobriety and health and family. And it's a long road to get there, and it's not an easy road, but you can hear in his voice how he feels good and how much this new lifestyle suits him.
Oh, absolutely.
So, let's see if he calls back on here.
I'm trying to message him now.
All right. Well, it might. I'll just keep an eye out for that. But hopefully he hops back on here because I was enjoying talking to him. But here we go. Let's see.
Simon. Hey, can you guys hear me? Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there.
Joe, yep. Is it something I said?
It's too much high praise. I couldn't handle it anymore. I don't do positive reinforcement.
Oh, okay. Well, we can roast you for the next half hour.
I thought that's what I signed up for. So, oh, sorry about that, guys.
No. So, anyways, I'll let you continue where you're at.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the last thing you heard was, but really I think what I was saying is, like, to your point, like, I didn't really know how bad I felt until, like, months after I had stopped drinking. Like, I thought I felt fine, which, you know, I think was, in hindsight, is so silly because I was dramatically overweight. Like, I couldn't function hardly physically, but, like, I thought I was fine, and I think you know, it is not until, like, hindsight's always 20/20, right? And you can sit back and look at things and be like, man, I really did feel very, very terrible and worked really hard to get there, right?
For sure. So when you started doing the DDPY in those first two workouts, were you somebody who adapted really quickly, or was it something that you realized, oof, this is going to be a hell of a time getting going on this? How was your first relationship with DDPY?
Oh, it was so hard. It was tough. I didn't know about, like I said, I started with some DVDs. I didn't really know the app existed. I didn't know all the rebuild and all that stuff was out. And I probably should have started somewhere else, but I started just with energy and started working through those. And I had to modify everything. I was, you know, on my knees in lunges. I was on my knees in push-ups. I had to modify everything. And then the other thing too, like at first I had to take it like really, really easy because I had done a lot of, like, not permanent damage, but I was so out of shape that, like even just walking around sometimes, like, I'd be up at, like, 130, 140 beats a minute. So, like, if I, like, exercised at all, like, for too hard, like, it was just not, it, like, I just wasn't feeling well. And so it was not a good experience at first at all. Like, it was very tough.
What made you push through? Like, how is it, like, getting through that hump and getting on the other side of it?
Yeah, you know, I think self-preservation, right? Like, I the doctors pretty much told me, like, look, if you, like, head down and keep doing what you're doing, and, like, you know, my father made it to 48, and I don't know if I would have made it to 48 if I had continued down the path I was on. And so, like, I knew I had to do something different. And plus, like, I, like, enjoyed it, right? Like, it was hard, and it was, like, not, like, it was tough, but, like, it was also, like, motivating, and, like, yeah, I was struggling through these workouts, but I was still finishing them, right? And I think, you know, for anyone who's done this program, like, the changes happen quick. Like, you know, what you couldn't do 2 weeks ago, now all of a sudden you can do. And so before I knew it, I was, you know, holding lunges and, you know, starting to do a push-up and, you know, all these different things. And so as those, you know, and obviously I was losing weight, right? Like, I saw some of the weight start to come off. And so, you know, I just think there, for me, like, more than anything, I just needed to get better. And I really, like, I knew what Dallas did for Jake, and I knew what Dallas did for Scott. And I just really believe that, like, it could work for me, too. I just have to kind of figure it out, right?
That's half the battle right there is, you know, going from treating everything, you know, that an option. Like, your health is not no longer an option. It needs to be shifted to a priority, which you've done. And the same with Scott and the same with Jake. I mean, it's, you know, you get to see what they did. And, I mean, that's incredibly motivating.
Yeah. Well, and then when you do it, right, when you do some of this stuff, you know, like I just did the new, like Hayden's new live workout, right? There's 100 push-ups in that thing in a half an hour. I was able to do, like, every single one. Like, by the end, I was struggling, and my wife was laughing at me, but I made it through every single push-up in this thing. And, you know, 3.5 years ago, I couldn't do half a push-up on my knees, right? And so I think, you know, not only is it motivating to see what others are doing and hear the stories and see all the positive changes, but as you start to do some of these things, there's just really not anything else like it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Is there moments that you really surprised yourself, like where you pushed yourself to a point where, like, man, this isn't me. This isn't typically how I do things. And just really just proved yourself to yourself?
Yeah, all the time. I think, you know, like I said, I continue to evolve in this program, right? Like, now I'm using the power cuffs and I'm starting to incorporate weightlifting. Like, I've never been a weightlifter in my entire life. And I'm in the gym 3 times a week, right, with these silly cuffs on my body, like lifting weights. And so I, like, you know, I think I'm nutrition, right? Like, I count calories and weigh all my food and track macros. And I do all these things that, you know, I think, what's the saying? If you take care of your wellness now or your illness later, right? And you know, and none of these things, you know, I don't know if I have any friends who actually listen to this show like they told me they would, but anyone who knows me, like, these are not things that were high on my priority list at all. And you know, I think to put, you know, my health as a priority and to try to take care of myself, you know, it's every single day. There's something new I can't believe I'm doing every single day.
I mean, Joe, you just touched on my next question was, how much has the circle of people around you changed?
You know, it's changed a little. I don't have a very big circle. I tend to be a bit of a loner. And one of the things I'm trying to do, and then part of the reason I wanted to come and talk to you guys is I am trying to be like a bigger part of this community, and just, it's very easy for me to live in my little world. You know, I'm a happily married guy. We have kids. We have a very small circle of friends. So the circle hasn't really changed all that much. I do think how the circle thinks about me has probably changed quite a bit. But the actual people in my life, like, thankfully have not changed all that much.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
it's grown,
you know,
though. I will say. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, man.
I was just going to say it's grown, right? Like, I've met a lot of great people in this community. I've started to, like, connect with folks. So I would say, like, if anything, I've expanded my network, right? Just as a result of getting involved with DDP Yoga and some of the folks who do this.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned your wife and your kids earlier. I mean, they must be so impressed with you because, you know, I'm sure at the time, you know, when you're trying to hide stuff and trying to keep things on the down low, you know, it seems like, oh, it's a nag. It's like, oh, all this. But then you realize on the other side of it how much people care about you and how much your well-being meant to your family and friends that they stuck it out with you and stuck with you and helped you get through this. They must be pretty impressed by where you're at right now.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think, you know what they say, I don't know, but I heard another saying, like, trust is earned in – yeah, or lost in gallons and earned back in drops, right? And so I still think I probably have some work to do overall. But sure, I think, you know, I think
people are happy with what I'm doing. Obviously, my family's happy that I'm healthy and have plans to stick around for a while, right? But I still think that there are still things that I feel like I have to do to make up for, like, some of the things that I did to some of the people that I really care about, right?
Joe, could you do me a favor? Could you repeat that quote again, please?
Yeah, trust is earned. Oh, I'll just try to remember. Trust is lost in gallons and earned back in drops.
Boy, that's heavy.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
It's true. It's accurate. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people who are alcoholics and addicts, and they don't recognize the person they were, and they hurt people they love. And it is hard to get that back, but, you know, it is something that all you can do is move forward and try to keep earning that trust and trying to keep building that trust. And, I mean, you seem to be doing, you know, pretty well with your will to do so. And the fact that you're here talking to us and the fact that you've been doing this, the 2023 entire sober year, that's massive. And I have no doubt that, you know, you're going to keep doing what you got to do in your mind to make that, you know, feel comfortable with that. But going forward, you mentioned wanting to go more active in the DDPY community and stuff like that. How has the DDPY community helped you kind of maintain and kind of keep yourself honest with your workouts?
Yeah, so it's been big. Like, I've done a lot of stuff to try to keep myself accountable. I'm part of a bunch of different Facebook groups. You know, I think you guys have had Scott French on this show. I'm part of the Tiger Battalion Facebook group. I've got a chance to know Scott and Amy. It's been great. I've done a couple of, like, Dr. Wallen's 100-day challenges, right? I got accountability threads all over Facebook, it feels like. So it's really just been, you know, just trying to stay, like, engaged, right? And just being willing to put myself out there, because it's very easy for me, like I said, just kind of stay within my own circle. But so I think, you know, using it as an accountability tool has been great. I think the other thing that's been, you know, obviously great is watching what other people have done, and watching, you know, some of the successes people have and the mindset changes and you see people do things that they just never thought in their entire life they'd be able to do, and you just can't help but be motivated by it.
Yeah. Going forward, you know, is there anything on the table that you haven't done yet or haven't tried yet that you'd love to see yourself doing, whether it be a position, whether it be a certain challenge, whether it be a goal, weight loss goal, or anything that you can push yourself to do? Is there anything that you haven't done yet that you'd really want to try to do in the next couple years or so?
Yeah, I got a bunch of goals, like DDPY specific. I'm trying to physically, I'm trying to work on 10-second push-ups right now. That's a big one I'd like to do. I eventually want to be able to do, like, some of the more, like, crazy, like, red diamond, like hour-long workouts, like living in the red zone and some of the more wild stuff. The other thing I'm doing is I'm in the certification program for my L1. So I hope to do that. I don't hope. I will be getting certified as an instructor over the course of this year. So, and I'm back in the Positively Unstoppable Challenge for 2024, and working on, like, what that's going to look like, right? So I'm definitely by no means, like, done with this program. I think, you know, what's been, like, really great about this is, you know, not just an exercise program anymore, right? Like, it's become a part of my lifestyle, and it's, you know, an hour to an hour and a half that I take for myself, you know, pretty much every single day. And I really think other people should too, and I don't plan to stop that anytime soon.
You know what I think is amazing, Joe, is that your kids are watching. This is only going to rub off on them. That's amazing.
Yeah, here's hoping. Yeah, how kids are. They don't always like to listen to their parents, so you got to hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they pick it up in the long run over time. They absorb it. And, you know, if anything, showing them that your dad, their dad's willing to fight, stick around. That's a huge thing. And I know, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your father, you know, early on in life. And hopefully with all these changes, you're gonna provide something so you can stick around for your kids and they don't have to have that same you know, fate. That's a huge deal. And the fact that you're willing to fight for your family, I mean, that shows them everything.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. It's definitely the goal. Gotta stick around here for a little bit longer.
Well, so, you know, I remember we did the show when the pandemic started and everyone kind of got sent home. And I remember saying that this is probably going to be one of those times in my life where, you know, the only time the whole world has a couple weeks off. At the time, I thought it was going to be a couple weeks where we can just, you know, we all have this free time. And we have a chance to use it for good. We have a chance to use it for bad. You know, obviously you found a way to do both. You found that way to kind of fall into that trap, but ultimately that led to something, you know, amazing to come out of it. So without that pandemic and without that thing, you know, you might not be here right now. What do you think about that? And what do you think about the period of struggle you went to and then coming out of it, where you at?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's easy to look back at life, at least for me. And look at, you know, good things that have come out of difficult situations. This one is probably the most glaring example of that. But I think, you know, I think that's been a common theme over my life. You know, I think, like, look, I would not be the person I am right at this moment if things did not happen exactly the way that they happened. I'm, like, a better person in this moment than I probably have been in my time so far on this earth, right? And so would I go back and do it all again? Like, I don't know. I like to think I could find a little bit easier path to get here. But I learned a lot, and there are things that I would have never known about myself if I didn't go through, like, the journey that I went through, right?
I mean, it's one of those things. Said. I think it's – sorry, Mike. That you can't begrudge what you went through, because look what you have done with all that. I mean, a lot of people still want to forget, you know, the hard times or the bad times, or yeah, but you can't, because it's part of who you are, and you've used it for fuel to get through and bring you to where you are now. That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, like, I don't think anyone has figured out how to make life stop providing us with challenging times, right? So,
right?
No,
exactly.
Until someone cracks that code, like, it's, you know, it's good to have some healthy coping mechanisms, right?
Oh,
Mike Mullen,
one of my least favorite things is when people say, "I have no regrets because it led me to where I am today." I think that answer is kind of sociopathic, because you should have regrets,
right?
Because probably all the bad things you've done hurt a lot of people, and just because, but you can't change that. There's no such thing as, you know, you can't change the regrets. So have regrets, have empathy for the people you hurt, have, you know, regrets for the things you've done. It doesn't change the fact that you're here right now and it brought you here. So you can ultimately appreciate the moment and appreciate what you've gotten out of it, while also realizing that, you know, it was a shit sandwich to get here.
Yeah, well, and I think that's true, and I think, you know, there's I like quotes, but I saw another quote recently that said,
"I hear you.
Pleasure is closer to happiness. Or acceptance is closer to pleasure than happiness, right?" And I think, you know, this whole concept of, like, radical acceptance, like, I don't have to like the things I've done. I don't have to be okay with them. I can regret them, like, whatever. I don't have to be emotionally upset by them. I can learn how to live with them. I can learn how to accept pretty much anything, even though I don't like it. And if I can learn to accept it, then I will probably have just a little bit easier time dealing with it, right?
I think that's really important, because one of the biggest lessons we've learned in the house this week is you don't need to agree with anybody. You can do what's best for you, and guess what? The world's not going to fall apart.
No, it's not. And for me, like, that was hard for me to accept, because, like, I thought the world would fall apart if I stopped doing this important stuff, right? Because that's just the type of person that I was. So you're coming to that realization that, you know, that that's not going to happen. Like, it's humbling and it's important, right? At least it was for me.
I mean, you can live with your regrets and all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you that I wore a ruffled shirt to my prom, a pirate shirt to my prom, and that's something that I could never forgive myself for. So, some things that just too horrible to remember, to forget.
Hopefully your date didn't notice.
Oh, she opted out of the pictures after. So she's like, we'll skip the photo session. Like, oh yeah. So, anyways, I got a lot of amends to make for that one. I'm excited to see, you know, where you're at and all this hard work you've put in, and I'm excited to see where you go. You're doing the L1 certification now. How have you been doing with that? How's that, you know, either changed or enhanced your workout and your DDPY, you know, experience?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, I'm just really, like, starting it. I think I like, signed up in, like, November. So I'm really, like, at the beginning of this. But I've been, you know, I started off by just doing the workout, right, like, and just getting familiar with the workout. And then, like, a couple weeks ago, I wrote out, like I have a poster board on my wall with some cues. And I started going through this now, like, a couple times a week and, like, talking myself through it and just trying to get familiar with calling it and reversing directions and all that stuff. So it's been good, you know. I think it's been different. It's definitely a little bit different. But it's been good, and I'm really excited to lean into this. And hopefully, like, try to – the other thing, too, is I'm out in Phoenix, Arizona, and there – we are in the desert, but it's also, like, a DDPY desert. No one knows about this program really out here. It's not talked about very often, and so part of the reason I want to go through this L1 is to help get more people doing this out here, because you just don't hear a lot about it where I am.
Wow. I love the way you put that, because first of all, the workout, when going through the certification, people don't realize how difficult it is, because you're literally undoing all the instincts that you've had as left, right, left for the past, you know, whatever years you've been alive, and relearning that instincts, and to call it like that, it's a bit of a, you know, everyone has the most trouble with that. So don't feel bad about that, because I've known people that have been teaching for, you know, 10 years that now don't know their real rights and lefts, because they've been calling it for so long they can't remember which one's which. So it screws with you. But, you know, when I first started, you know, doing DDPY and getting involved with, you know, Dallas and everything in, like, 2010, and I started on the YRG DVDs, you know, myself, you know, there was nobody who knew of DDPY. You mentioned it, they'd look at you sideways, and seeing now that I've come along and, you know, it's become something that you mention at a show or mention to people, they recognize it and they know what you're talking about. So the fact that you're out there, you know, in the desert and, you know, not a lot of people really know about it, it's something that, like, there's all these people, there's this community of people that you can find out there. And I think that you're going to really change a lot of people's lives on there, because, you know, yoga, DDPY yoga, DDPY, you know, when I first started, it was like guys wouldn't do DDPY. They heard yoga and they turned it off. But if you're an athlete or if you're, you know, a weightlifter, it's so crucial to injuries and to, you know, maintaining, you know, flexibility. That where I'm at it now, it's not even really a foreign term anymore. It's just accepted as a great compliment for athletes and working out. And if you bring that to where you are, I think you could have a real niche in your community of presenting that to people who you know, quote unquote, wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga.
Yeah, I agree. There's a, you know, there's a small group of us out here that I think they're gonna try to do some big things in the future, and it should be pretty great. So
that's awesome.
Well, we only got a couple minutes left here. Is there anyone you want to shout out? You said that you might have some friends or family listening right now. Anybody you want to give a little shout out to before we start wrapping things up?
Yeah, I mean, I know my wife's listening. So, Steph, thanks for listening. I love you. I think if anyone else actually did tune into this, thank you guys. You probably heard a bunch of stuff about me you didn't know before. So that's fun. But I'll just give a shout out to you guys. I appreciate you having me, and obviously giving people this forum to talk about these stories and bring exposure to what we're doing. It's really great. It's a good thing you guys are doing.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. It was a pleasure hearing your story, and it's inspiring. And what we do here on the show is we present people's stories because, you know, we can tell you, you know, all the advice we could possibly, you know, dish out, but hearing it from somebody who's been in that situation, and I guarantee you somebody's out there right now listening that, you know, is drinking too much and thinks, you know, it's going to be hard to quit. It's hard to, you know, move forward from that. And whenever you hear somebody, you might not recognize or identify with their entire story, but you see pieces of yourself and everybody, and it makes you think that you're not alone and you can, you know, get past whatever you're doing. So we appreciate you coming in there and sharing those stories, and I think it's going to be a great tool and a great asset to have you as an instructor, you know, down the line to kind of bring along the next people who are just looking for that lifeline.
Yeah, you know, I think Crystal, you said it best at the beginning of the show, right? Like, you can do hard things. Like, we can all do hard things, and I think, you know, sometimes it feels like you just can't, and you really can, and it's worth it to not give up, right? Like, it's worth it to put the work in and put the fight in and see where you come out on the other side.
I mean, you very well may believe that you can't, but as Dallas would say, you need to add the word yet. You can't yet.
So you can, but you're going you can't. To. You're right.
Yeah,
we got six inches of real estate in between our ears, right?
Absolutely. So a lot of people, when you know, Dallas will always say, anybody can do this program, anyone can do this. And sometimes when I point people to the program, they hear anybody can do this, and that translates to this is an easy fix. And it's not easy.
Right.
In a society where we're looking for the easy fix or looking for the easy way to change my life, when we should be looking for what's the most I can dig down in myself to make it so that it's possible for me. Because most of us are capable of it. And most of us, even if we're not physically capable to do everything, we're physically capable to dig down and do the hard work. And if most of us are being honest with ourselves, there's more we can all do and to change our lives and stop hiding behind excuses. And Crystal, that was a great, great quote. You know, we're capable of hard things. DDPY, when you get down on the mat, it's not easy, especially the first few times. But, you know, Joe, you pushed through it. I pushed through it. Crystal, you pushed through it. And we got to, another side of it. And now you're on the show telling people your success stories. And you got a ways to go. But, man, you've come a long way, too. So don't forget to pat yourself on the back while also digging deep to make things better for you and your family, because you have a lot to be proud of, and there's a lot of work left to go for all of us. So thank you for coming on, man, and sharing your story. It was inspiring.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you both having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Joe Ferreira, everybody. Check him out if you guys are looking for some workouts in the Phoenix area, too. I'm sure eventually we'll get to a point where he's going to be doing some of his hours. So, look for him out that way. And Crystal, I know we're going to wrap up with one of your world famous quotes of the week. I know you've been hard at work all week with a team of writers and typewriters down in your basement trying to come up with the best quote we can possibly get to. So let's go and let's follow us off into next week.
Sure. So this week's quote is by Tony Robbins. And the quote is, if you focus on a wall, you're going to hit it every single time.
Now I realize why my life is like a Roadrunner cartoon. Why didn't you tell me that years ago? All right, guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Joe. And we'll be back with another episode of DDP Radio next week. Don't forget DDPRadio.com for hundreds of archives. No, we're off next week.
You're off next week.
I'm off next week. Yes, that's right. All right. Well, the week after that. So we'll be back. And Crystal, I know you've been rocking the Facebook page and all that stuff, so check it out as well. And we'll see you guys soon. Have a great week off. And until then, own your life, baby. Woo. See ya.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Into the Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.